This recording is a production of Faith Builders Educational Programs. This presentation was recorded at REACH 2015, a conservative Anabaptist ministry convention hosted by Faith Builders on March 19 and 20, 2015.
Faith Builders asked me to speak, and this preparing your people for ministry is the way I changed the name of the title. I feel very passionate about this. I'm speaking mostly to leaders, mostly to church leaders or people who influence other people. It could be a church leader, it could be a mentor, but someone who has a position of responsibility and who can nudge people into service. That's why I'm here. So I'm just curious how many of you, so we're going to be talking to leaders and we're talking to the people they are trying to influence. So how many of you consider yourselves leaders? Okay? Good. You're the people I wanted to have here. And how many of you are people who want to be guided? Okay. Well, so you can do both. Wonderful. I'm doing a workshop on addressing turnover, and that's a little bit different. Addressing turnover is trying to fix problems so that people who are on the field or on the way there won't need to leave. But this one's different. This is about you're a leader, and how to nudge other people to consider ministry. That's where I'm headed. I put the title, Preparing Your People for Ministry. It's not about ownership, so please, I didn't know what else to put there. But it's not about ownership, it's about caring for people, and people that look to you for direction. You're trying to figure out how to find out what they're good at, and 35 years ago I was a young person like some of the people that you're influencing, and I was trying to figure out, where should I go, what should I do with my life? I sensed a calling. I knew that I wanted to be in full-time Christian service, but I wasn't quite sure where I was supposed to go. I began to look, and the Lord arranged circumstances, and I landed up in El Salvador. That's a long story. And so, preparing your people, the people that are under your sphere of influence. So think about those. If you're a preacher, it's your constituents. If you're a person of responsibility, think about that. It's the people that are under your sphere of influence. And my premise is that we're going to do a better job if we're intentional, if we think about it, if we don't just assume. It's so easy for us as church leaders to think people are coming to church and so everything is going fine. I'm proposing a model of thinking about the need and discovering the gifted people under your sphere of influence and helping them, moving them on toward ministry. So, foundational beliefs. I'm assuming that you believe strongly about the Great Commission, that you're thinking not just about your local church, that you're thinking about the needs out there. So much has happened in the body of Christ since the 1980s when I was looking for a place to work. There's so many opportunities, and 40 ministries are saying, These are places where you can serve. So I'm just asking you, as a reflection, is it possible that we sometimes focus on other things that aren't as important as the Great Commission, as reaching out to other people? Have you ever thought about the possibility that Jesus would say to us, like he did to the religious leaders of his day, yes, the things that you're focusing on are important, but these you ought to have done, the Great Commission, and not to have left those things undone. And I'm suggesting that the way that local churches disciple their people is going to have a lot to do with where they end up at, whether they actually go to the field or not. And I'm suggesting that if we're intentional about helping people, nudging them, we're going to be more successful than if we aren't. What about this one? If you're a church leader, it's easy for you to focus on your your local church. And you want your want the good people to stay to keep it going. What do you think about this one? Jesus repeatedly, in several different contexts, said, if you hang on to something, you're going to lose it. But if you give it away, it'll come back to you. So I'm suggesting that this applies to the good people that are under your sphere of influence. And I'm pleading with you to not just think about these good people, I want to keep them here. We ought to be thinking about where has God gifted these people and what can I do to help them find their place of ministry. For whosoever shall save his church by hanging on to his people and build a bigger building will lose them. But whoever loses his church by blessing his people to go off into ministry in other places as soon as they're ready, for Jesus' sake, will find it. Have a healthy church where people are eager to be equipped. Think about that. It requires a change of focus. It requires us saying, I don't care so much about my local church as I care about the big body of Christ. And if I can send people to some other place, it's true that things aren't going to be, if I send my best people to other places, maybe it won't be so good for me. Maybe I'm going to have people who are learning how to do ministry and how to be stretched. But that's okay. That's the way it ought to be. Sometimes God calls us the Pauls and the Barnabases off to ministry, and that leaves people, the people who don't have as good, who aren't as good at stuff. But that's okay. I like to tell people, I can preach better than you can because I've been doing this a long time. But I had to learn. I had to start. And so let's give people opportunity. Let's push people into things that they don't feel very comfortable with, and then be there to help them if they fall, but let's be nudging them. Find the right people, the best ones, and then nudge them in the right direction. Something I learned a little while ago, I wished I would have learned it a lot quicker, is that you learn best by doing. You know, we don't take swimming lessons and go like this. You know, we don't practice. We get into the water. And I like to give people permission to learn by doing. That is a profound concept that's not even 5 years old in my life. I used to, for many, many years, I thought that if I was going to do something, I had to be good at it before I start. Now I, for every new thing that I'm attempting to try, I say, okay, I don't know how to do this. I've never done this before. I'm going to try, but I'm learning. I'm learning. And so it's not going to go that well the first time, but I'm going to go ahead and keep going. We can learn to prepare our people for ministry by doing. If the things that I'm sharing with you seem kind of strange and kind of hard, that's okay. What I want you to do is to give yourself permission to try. It didn't go that well. Okay. What am I going to do different next time? That's what I want, the idea I want you to have. So I want you to think about the people in your church or your sphere of influence, and who are the five people that are gifted that you could that could be useful in the kingdom in other places. Can you think of five people? I hope so. Let me ask you about your church. Is it the in thing for people to be in service and to be in ministry and to be involved? Or is it the in thing to kind of stay at home and be involved in business? Not that business is bad, but I'm just curious. I'm suggesting that you as a leader have a lot to do with the feeling of we're all looking for the right place to be, and we're here right now to be equipped because we're going somewhere else. So, be a missions-focused church. What does that mean? That means that it's not about us here. We're preparing each other to go out to other places of service. Be unselfish. Allow these people to go. Plant the seed. How would you do that? You know, Brother Laverne, I've been noticing you. And I just see your commitment to the things of God. And I'm just wondering, you're a young person. Have you ever thought about that God might be calling you to a place of not just Reno County, Kansas? Have you ever thought about that? No, I haven't really thought about that. I just sense in you a person who's committed, a person who cares deeply about people. Would you be willing to help me with doing this? And I just want to give you a chance to practice and to learn. Could you do that? When a leader plants the seed and says, I see something in you that I think can be developed, it is a profound statement of worth, and it helps your people. It gets them off of the it gets them off of this needing to wait to do something. I went to El Salvador in 1985, and nobody really told me what I was supposed to do. It's just I was supposed to keep doing what the person was doing before I got there. And it wasn't until 8 years later that two different people talked to my wife and said, Arthur, you and Lil ought to be involved in some kind of teaching ministry. That's what it took for me to realize that I had permission to do something else. And so I'm saying that if a leader taps somebody on the shoulder and says, I really think that God has gifted you in remarkable ways. I know you're just 18, and I know you're still at home, but could I walk with you? Could I make some suggestions? Would you be willing to be open to this? And we'll keep talking about it. Here's a book that I want you to read. I'm suggesting that we lose our people, not because we ask too much of them, but we ask too little of them and we bore them. So declare war on this wait until you're asked thing. I don't know why, but it took me a long, long time to understand. Now I'm talking about a mentality that pervades our group of people. Can you identify a religious humility that says it would be proud to say, I want to help, I want to be involved in Christian service? Do you know what I'm talking about? Humility is good. It's important. And if we ever get proud, we're going to be disqualified. But I'm suggesting that we need to tell our people, what does 1 Timothy 3 say? 1 Timothy 3:1 says, whoever wants to be an overseer, how does it end? If someone desires the office of a bishop, but haven't you heard about how wicked and how awful a minister's itch is? You see, there is something very wrong with I want to be in leadership to have other people serve me and to take advantage of the position. Yes, that's wrong. But it's very right to say, I want to make my life count. I'm willing to be in whatever place God wants me to be to serve. And so I'm suggesting that we learn by doing. We learn by helping other people. We learn by trying. I love to do street ministry, but it wasn't that way. I was in El Salvador for 20 years thinking that that's what I ought to do, but I didn't get there until someone literally pushed me. I went to the park because I thought, I'll go to watch the other man preach. And then he said, you're on first. And it was scary. But what I'm saying, this preacher's itch, this religious humility that says, no, I could never do that. That's not right. We ought to be willing, we ought to be anxious to serve and to help other people. So, back in 1983, when these two ladies talked to my wife, Lil and I opened ourselves to, okay, so we're supposed to do something, but we don't know what. The Lord orchestrated events. There was a kidnapping of one of our missionaries. Four young ladies were taken. They were sexually abused. And then we saw up close the damage of sexual abuse. And it was then that the Lord nudged us into a ministry that we would have never, ever thought of. But that's just an example of the need to be open, the need to be... and the other interesting thing is that one of those four ladies is now my co-pastor's wife. So declare war on the wait until you're asked. That's for young people, because I'm suggesting that, remember, the young person should be open to direction and asking, would you please help me? I have this sense of calling. And it should be okay for people to have a sense of calling, shouldn't it? If someone comes to you as a church leader and says, I don't know where I'm going to end up, and please don't misunderstand me, but I just sense that the Lord is calling me to something. Would you help me? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Shouldn't we be doing that? Shouldn't we cultivate a setting where it's okay and not, oh, so you want to be a preacher? May God forbid that we have that kind of attitude. May we rather, sure, I'm delighted. I'll walk with you and I'll help you, because that's what it's all about. I thought this was interesting. It's easier to motivate and guide a doer than to motivate a thinker. You have people who like to theorize, but what you want is you want to look for people who are willing to do, to jump in, and to be active. And so declare on war on the wait until you've been asked belief. In 2008, I was asked to share some, at our church in Kansas, I was asked to share on missions. And so I thought to myself, there's never enough good people on the mission field, right? We always need more good people. So I thought, let's find out how they got there. What can I learn from them? And so look at this. There was 92 people that responded. Not everybody responded, but look at that. 39 people, the mission board contacted me directly or through the local church leaders, but it was the mission board's initiative. 33 people said, I sensed a personal call and contacted my church leaders or my mission board. 3 people said, my church leader sensed my calling and encouraged me to prepare. So I'm saying, wouldn't it be good and appropriate for you church leaders to be saying, I see this person? And I think planting the seed can be a powerful thing. Please do that. I see your commitment. I don't have an idea. I don't know where you're going, what God wants to do with your life, but plant the seed. I wish it would be something like 60 people. My church leaders talked to me. But that was the results. I would certainly have been one of these people. I sensed a personal calling. My church leaders never talked to me. I think for me to have gone to my church leaders, I don't know what they would have thought. But I just think that's not to make anybody feel bad. It's just I'm saying let's be intentional and let's think about the people that we're serving. We church leaders can do better if we know we're authorized to promote Christian service. And we know our own people best, don't we? And if you see somebody who has a lot of potential, but who is proud and cocky, wouldn't it be okay to talk to them and say, hey, look, I see you've got so much going for you. But I really think these two things are things that are going to kind of be hampering you wherever you go. You've talked positive, you've planted the seed, but there's going to come a time when you're going to say, hey, look, you've got so much going for you. What about this idea of preparing now? We're not sure where you're going to be going, but preparing now to let's just work on this pride issue or this issue where you're always talking about yourself and you haven't learned yet how to ask other people questions, or how much time are you spending in the Word? Well, I try to get to it maybe 3 or 4 days a week. So are you expecting God to use you? Don't you think it's important to get into the Word? Can I guide you? How do you do it? I'll show you how I do it. Do you see what I'm saying? I'm proposing you walking alongside and being a mirror and just being upfront with them about the things that they may be doing that should be better. Let me ask you a question. What could you do? I'm not going to embarrass anybody, but I'm going to say this. What could you do that would help your people to think at church Sunday morning? What could you do to open people's eyes to the idea of ministry? I'd like to hear from you. So the question is, you are in charge of announcements. You're in charge of, you're in charge of announcements. You're in charge of, you can set the stage in your local church Sunday morning. What could you do to make service the in thing? You understood the question? What do you think? Encourage people to witness. Talk to people about unreached people groups. Pastors can candidly share their success and failure in witnessing. We have some tracts up here. They're already stamped with the church address. I'll be glad to show you how I do it. Those are things that you could do. Prayer requests from the mission field. You know, Susie and Matilda are out in Afghanistan. They sent back this prayer request. Let's pray for them right now. Those are things that you can do. And if a visiting missionary is at your church, ask them to talk. Ask them about what they're doing. Learn about them. Any more comments about what you could do in your local church Sunday morning to make so that people don't just think about us, but about service and about needs outside?
Well, two things that came to me would be how we comment additionally to an announcement that's being made regarding missions.
Okay.
If we add that second sentence of supportive interest, that's a promotion.
Uh-huh.
Or, and that's maybe even more powerfully, something you alluded to also, and that is to pray with interest and passion.
Okay.
For those that are out.
Pray with interest and compassion. Make that extra sentence about the prayer request that says, I'm interested, I hope you're interested too. Anybody else want to comment about what you can do to make so that your church is not just about you, but it's about us praying for people and us thinking about how we can reach out? Anybody else want to? Yes. Okay.
So I'm hoping to have a sermon series on that.
Okay.
I feel like I'm sort of at the front end of trying to learn more.
Okay.
Identifying and calling that out. And hopefully that could be an avenue of preparing them for service.
Wonderful. What the brother's saying is we're going to talk about the different areas of giftedness, and we're going to give them names, you know, the different names. Maybe you'll use Romans 12 or something. And you're going to say, okay, this is one way that people are gifted, and help people understand where they're gifted, make it okay to notice that, and then to have them think, so if God has gifted me, what am I supposed to do with this? And it's not a preacher's itch, because we're asking God, what am I supposed to do with this? And we're saying, Lord,
it's a stewardship.
It's a stewardship issue. Lord, confirm what we're supposed to do with this. Someone told me one time, they said it like this, it's easier to steer a car that's moving. I can think of multiple times in the 30 years that I've been on the mission field that we prayed and said, Lord, we're not quite sure where we're supposed to go, how we're supposed to do this. We sense that this is what we're supposed to do, so we start. And when we start, then the Lord meets us there. Anything else that you'd like to comment about what things we can do Sundays or midweek meeting? Yes?
2 out of our 4 ministers serve on mission boards, and it's always a highlight when they come back from a delegation trip when they give a report on
okay.
what's happening.
Okay.
Seeing their zeal.
Okay, good. That's the same idea. You're giving opportunity for exposure, and you're giving a message that what's happening out there is important, and we want to be involved. Thank you. Yes.
Seems like if we provide minister opportunities right in our local churches, if our local church has a sense of mission,
okay.
our neighborhood.
Okay. Good.
What people learn by doing.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. We learn by doing, we do locally, and then let's just look at this one. This was another question I asked. What influenced you as a child or a youth to favorably consider becoming a missionary? Speakers, books, personal interaction, and Bible school. So, that gives you an idea. If you can suggest a book, if you can say, hey, I want you to meet Mr. Missionary. I want you to meet this person. I'm not sure this is a fit right now, but I want you to meet them. Or I'd like to have you. Those are the kinds of things that you can do to make it okay for those people to think about it and get over the religious humility thing that I talked to you about. This is another interesting question. How long was the incubation time from the time that you thought about it and the time you went? I propose that the people who've thought about it the longest will probably be able to stay longer. If the mission board calls you and says, we have an urgent need, we need somebody, really we need somebody right now, but at least within 6 months. Oh, I never thought about that. Let me talk with the banker and all this kind of stuff. The people who, it's a brand new idea, never thought about it, probably will do a, if they go, will have the focus of, this is my short-term stint to get back to real life. But if you can plant the seed and say, you know, I really think you have some gifts, and I don't know where, but please consider, and let's keep praying. And can I keep nudging you? Can I keep talking to you? Can I keep giving you books? Because I think those are the people that last the longest. I was 15 years old when I just sensed that I was supposed to do Christian service, whatever that means. And of course, I was one of these people who said, why in the world would you want to go to another country where you have to learn another language? There's so many needs in the United States and all that kind of stuff. But I was open to service. And so the Lord kind of nudged me and got past that. So we've been talking about this before. You need to be honest. You need to be sincere. This thing of a leader believing in people and saying, I see you've got something, is powerful. Forgive me for repeating, but it's just so powerful when you as a seasoned church leader talk to your people and say, you know, I really think that God has something for you. And it's okay to be, please don't think that away from home is the only place to serve. I don't mean that. But there's never too many good people that are available to be in service. And so believe in them, cheer for them. And when they make choices, when they move, when they read the book, and when they comment to you about it afterwards, those are powerful things that get them moving. And to the prospective mission worker, be vulnerable, be accountable, be willing to serve. And wouldn't it be wonderful if there'd be the kind of relationship where you've been cheering for the person and you've been asking them, how's it going? And they would be willing to say, please keep talking to me. I don't want to get sidetracked. Or wouldn't it be wonderful if you would say, you know, give me an idea about what you're doing with your time. And are you sure those things are what you really want to be doing to make your life count for God? So I'm hoping and I'm praying and I'm visualizing a leader who says, I see things in you, and a young person who's responding and saying, wow, I never thought of that. I'm humbled, I'm honored, but I just don't feel adequate. Can you give me ideas? And you being there to do that, that's what I want. Don't let me get sidetracked. What are the detours? First one I want to talk about, I guess I've already started, is assuming home involvement without specific instructions from God. So what I'm saying there is you're encouraging them to get into Christian service. And you're identifying where their gifts are at. And you're trying to help them think, you know, we appreciate your work in the local church, and we're going to give you chances to share and to be a Sunday school teacher, and how's it going, and we're going to do all that we can to help them. But let's help them to be listening to God. Do you have any sense about where God wants you to go or what God wants you to do with your life? See, I'm perfectly fine with people being... See, I'm a missionary, and I think missions. So you have to understand that. But I'm perfectly fine with people being in a local church when the Lord has instructed them to be there. What I'm not okay with is an assuming that this is my place without having listened. Because God, it's not about the lucky people who get to stay and the poor people who have to go do ministry. It's we all get to serve, sometimes some of us in a home setting and some of us in an away from home setting. And so we just want to help them not just assume, we want to get them active at home, but we don't want them just to assume that this is all there is to it. Debt can keep people off the mission field. And here's where you, the church leader, can, the gifted person that you're mentoring, you see these gifts as these gifts, what could you do that would help them to avoid this kind of a detour? Couldn't you say, you know, I notice other people are buying new pickups. I notice other people are making these kinds of investments. You could do that. And you could tie yourself down for a while. But I just wouldn't. Would you please just ask the Lord for instructions about what you should do? Maybe you could get by with, I know everybody else is doing it, but maybe you could get by with doing with less and not have this debt load. Something to think about. You see, we tend to just absorb the pressure from the world around us if we don't have a leader who is speaking into our lives and making suggestions. You're not telling people what to do. I'm not proposing that. But you're asking questions and encouraging them to listen to God. Sometimes people get married to someone who doesn't share their vision. I've seen wives pull their spouses off the mission field. Have you seen that? He loved it, but she never quite got used to the food, never learned the language, and she pulled him off the mission field. I've seen it I don't know how many times. So what am I saying? Johnny, you're 20 years old. I'm not trying to meddle in your life, but I just sense that God has ministry, and maybe ministry away from our local church. Maybe you're not thinking about girls yet, but if you are, just make sure that this developing sense of God calling me into Christian service, make sure that she owns that with you. Because it's no fun if you don't share that. May I just be... It might be common for ministers to grumble and say, it's my turn to preach again. Sorry, folks.
Wasting my time.
Okay, wasting my time.
That statement is wasting that waste, time.
That waste, it's wasting time. But there's something else that I just want you to give an impression that you, as a church leader, you as a ministry leader, are enjoying yourself. It stretches me. I don't know what... I do the best I can, but I love what I'm doing. If that's the feeling in your church, then people will be open to being in ministry. But if you give a negative message that says, this is hard work, it's too bad that I had to be a preacher, then you're giving a message to these people. And so I'm just saying, enjoy what you're doing and let other people know that you're enjoying it and that Christian service is the best thing that you could possibly do with your life. I like to tell people that what I'm doing in El Salvador is what I most enjoy doing. I love it. And if I had to live my life again, I would do it the same way. I've learned a lot of lessons quicker maybe, but let people know that you are excited about what you're doing and that you enjoy serving the people and that you do everything that you do as good as you can for the glory of God. That's what I want you to do. And my last step here is help them discern God's will for their lives. Help them brainstorm if they give you a chance. By now, I'm talking about you having talked to the 14-year-old. You having coached the 18-year-old and said, you're kind of saying, that's what I want you to do. Just kind of be in touch. Maybe it's a 5-minute conversation, but you're kind of planting a seed. And now Susie is 20 years old and she's thinking about service or whatever. What are you thinking? You're coaching them. I'm not proposing that you contact the mission boards and you doing all that for them, but I'm talking about the idea of you being just kind of asking questions to help them realize that there's somebody around that's noticing that I have gifts that would be valuable in wherever. It may be a ministry opportunity at an old folks' home or something like that. That's the first step toward where I really land up at. But you're visualizing, you're talking, and you're dreaming, and we hope that the person is going to be asking for counsel. Think of yourself as the midwife. You're not the one having the baby. You're not the one who's deciding, but you're giving counsel. You're coaching. You're cheering for them. You're staying in touch. So, just a quick summary, then a prayer, and then you'll give a chance to talk. So we've talked about finding the people with a missions-focused church and about being unselfish, of having your good people, being willing to let your good people go. Because if you equip good people and they go, they will continue to bless, and God will bring other people to you. That's Jesus' promise. Find the people. Look for the people. The people who are unselfish, the people who are willing to serve, look for those people and then plant the seed. And if you're the person, it would be perfectly okay to talk to your leaders and say, please help me. I don't want to get sidetracked. And then prepare. I'm talking about in their teens. And just be honest with them. Help see, tell them what you see in them. Believe in them. Don't let them get sidetracked. Be accountable, transparent, vulnerable, and then guide them to the right place. Stay in touch, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, I have the chance to talk to these church leaders. I pray that you would guide them to think about how this workshop applies to them. I pray that you'd give them the courage to be intentional, to notice, to think about the gifted people around them, and to look for the right time to just mention that they're seeing their giftedness, and that they can nudge them toward service. Oh, Father, I pray that as a result of being here in this workshop, we feel more equipped, we have better ideas, and that you will use us to have the excitement of having people we know and who have looked to us for direction find valuable, meaningful places of ministry. Lord, it was never your plan that we all sit on a pile. It was your plan that we reach out. And I pray that you would bless these church leaders and that they could have a better idea about what they can do. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. So, what do you want to talk about? I have 10 minutes left. I'm getting close to being done.
What are some titles of recommended reading?
Titles of recommended reading. The well-known reader, Perspectives on the World Christian Movement. It's a thick book. That's not for a beginner. What would you say? Help me. Laverne is asking for some recommended books. The Great Omission is a book. Help me. Yes.
World Missions Total War.
Total War. Okay, good. Another one? Yes. Oh, yes. And it has lots of short stories of missionary stories. And you see that these heroes had a very human side to them. Yes.
Our son read The Jungle Doctor as a young fellow. Okay. And had in his heart to become a doctor.
Okay.
And is pursuing that.
Okay. Did you hear that? A child read Jungle Doctor, and that idea of using medicine to serve people, that's an idea that was planted through a book, and his parents guided him to where he's now pursuing that more actively. Another book. Yes, Paul.
Many years ago, I read Elizabeth Elliot's Through Gates of Splendor. I was powerfully moved by Jim Elliot's
passion for serving, even though he became a martyr,
right.
as we all know, he became a martyr later. But I was just, I think, probably a teenager, late teenager,
right.
maybe, and it was powerfully provocative in my life, uh-huh. motivating me for some Christian service.
That's a book. A book, Through Gates of Splendor, that he saw someone's commitment, and you said, I want to be like that. Wow. Another book? Anything you want to comment about these ideas? Questions you want to ask about them?
I have a question.
Yes.
The situation of the missionary wife.
Uh-huh.
How can you remedy that?
The first thing that I tell people is wives need friends. And if you let a wife not learn the language, she's going to be frustrated, and she's going to hate the place. She's going to feel trapped. You've got to learn the language. And you, the husband, or you, the mission director, have to push people out to making quality friendships. And please, allowing people to be somewhere for a long time before we send them to language school is the worst thing you can possibly do. You bond with English-speaking people when you ought to be dumped off at a place where nobody talks English, and you have to learn the language of the people, and you discover that these are my people, and you... So that's what I would say. Yes?
If a wife is domestically inclined, plus just responsible and expected to do all of those things, maybe one of the things that should be done is to prioritize that someone else, part of the husband, but maybe also hired help, would come in to take care of the cleaning and the, mm-hmm. and the laundry, mm-hmm. while the wife could do what you just said, learn the language first and then and also socialize. Mm-hmm. I just think that our typical focus about has to be changed at least for a time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And maybe it's sometimes the mission organization's responsibility to identify that mm-hmm. And address it before mm-hmm. 2 years of solitude mm-hmm. have...
Exactly. May I just say something about my wife? It's okay to brag on my wife, isn't it? We had a brain-injured daughter. And we had two national people that did patterning with her. And so for 1 hour every day, they were doing this monotonous exercise, and they were talking. My wife learned language, my wife learned culture. She's still my cultural expert. And she saved me from who knows how many blunders. But one of the reasons that Lil loves El Salvador is because she has friends all over the place. That's a good question. Here and then here. Yes?
Megan, you could encourage families to go onto the mission field for short terms. When I was 10, my father took our family to Washington, D.C. to fellowship Haiti.
Okay.
And it sparked an interest in my heart for ministry.
Way to go. Thank you. That's a valuable contribution.
When I was 15, we went to Northwestern Ontario, and I taught my first class of Indian Bible school.
Okay.
Those put things into my heart.
Okay. Did you hear that? That's wonderful. Doing things, and the other thing about this this wife thing, a husband who says, this is important, let's you and I go visit these church sisters, and visiting them. So did you hear what Daryl said? He said two experiences opened his eyes to ministry, and maybe the second trip had something to do with you landing up in Ontario?
Not really.
Not really. Okay, you wanted to go south. Okay. More comments? We have 2 minutes, 2 or 3 minutes left. Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. I promised you. Orpha, you were going to say something.
Oh,
you read missionary stories to your students.
And I think that's such a good way of kindling an interest. And I remember my mother buying missionary books for us to read.
Okay. So what you're saying, that a Sunday school teacher could talk about these heroes of faith using the Iron Gina book?
Absolutely.
Wonderful idea.
Everything that you've said, I look at as a school teacher.
Uh-huh.
I can encourage my students in this. Good. Everything that you've said.
So a wife can do this, a wife, a mother, you're thinking of different ways to do it and do this idea in your setting. So take it. Go for it.
Claire,
yes.
Claire Snook talks about his mother reading missionary stories when he was five.
Okay.
As being very foundationally the word's escaping, but formative for him.
Right, right.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Here and then here. Okay, Lil?
Having children on the mission field is a powerful message to you, and also a way to bond with the natives,
uh-huh.
Native women. They see how you do it. There's much that they can learn, and there's a bond that happens between you and them because they also have children. Children is a big thing.
Okay, I think your comment's the last one.
It was just a question. I would be interested if there's any resources, maybe about that question, books regarding identifying or calling out the spiritual gifts within the congregation. That's kind of in that prepared.
Mm-hmm. Okay, our time is up. Thank you very much for being here. I hope you heard my heart, and I hope you're thinking about things that you can do. Thank you very much.
This recording and many others are available through Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. Order online at www.christianlearning.org or call 877-222-4769.